just start off with a short little testimony. Many of you already know that I was we've come from London. I was born and bred in London. Some of you have heard parts of this already. And I grew up in not such a nice part of North London. And we grew up with gangs around every corner. So that was kind of like my lifestyle. Eventually joining a gang and becoming a prominent member and everything that goes with that. But the Lord was gracious. He gave me an illness, which took me away from that. Well, I shouldn't say he gave me an illness. Because of my lifestyle, the Lord allowed this to happen. He was so merciful, so gracious, because it woke me up. At my lowest point, sometimes, and that's where we need to be. Some of us don't need to have that. But at our lowest point, sometimes that's when we can get underneath the clouds or underneath the sound and hear his voice. And I heard his voice for the first time telling me in 2008, I love you and I forgive you. And I was like, really, Lord? After everything I've done, after everything, you know, the crimes I've done, the things that, I mean, they weren't big crimes, but they were little things like stealing, thieving and breaking in and stuff like that. But I said, wow, I heard the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved you, Errol. It was more personal, that he gave his only begotten son for you. That if you believe him, Errol, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. So I took this promise. I said, praise God. Thank you, Lord. It's the first time in my life I realized that he loved me. And this was the jump start for me. Excuse me. I took this with both hands. I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And I realized I had to go back to the Bible. So I got the Bible. I got the Spirit of Prophecy. And I started studying and studying. And then I said to my parents, Mom, Dad, I want to go back to church. We went to church when we was younger, but I left in my mid-teens. As when you get to that age and you have the options to leave, I left. Because now I'm a man, I could do my own things. But I came back to my first love. You know, the Bible says, go back to your first love. So I went back to church. But slowly, something not so good happened. As I was studying, as I was praying and looking for change in my life, I started seeing the people in the church, looking at the people. I was saying, hold on, how come they're not doing what you said we must do? How come they're dressing like that? How come they're talking like that? Because in my life, I started to try and change things. Because I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And slowly, every time I came to church, I kept observing the people. I kept looking at the people and I was thinking, they're not doing something right. And it became almost part of me now to look and criticize everything about the church. To my my wife's credit, when I met her, I was transitioning out of this phase. I call it a phase because I realized when we had kids, I was reading the book Adventist Home. And in the book Adventist Home, it said, do not criticize. And it's funny because she even talks about the ride home. And that's what I was doing. Every time we left church, my kids in the back, well, the baby, probably Ella. But even my wife, she would be hearing me complaining. And in the book Adventist Home, it says, do not criticize or be negative, lest you be a stumbling block. Be negative about the church service, the sermon. It says, only bring up the good things. And that really pierced my heart because I said, wow, that's something I've been completely doing the opposite. And I didn't realize over time that I was a Pharisee because I was looking at the standard of myself compared to others. And I was thinking, you know, I'm becoming vegetarian. I know the Bible verses, Spirit of Prophecy. How come they're not learning it? And because I was looking at the standard of myself to them, rather than myself to God, I was becoming self-righteous. I was becoming self-righteous. So we go on to the Pharisee and the publican. The publican is the tax collector. And tax collector these those days, during this time, they were very dishonest. You know, one hand would take, one would be given to Caesar, and the other bit of money would be put in their back pocket. And so, notice, if we notice through this chapter, and I've entitled this, The Pharisee, the Tax Collector, and I. Because now I've tried to see every Bible verse, where do I fit in this? Where do I, the two worshippers as well. So that's an interesting thought. You know, you have two people going into church, both believing in God. They go into the temple to worship. But the difference here is the Pharisee, he feels that he is not a sinner in need of pardon. But the tax collector, he feels that he's a sinner in need of pardon. But because the Pharisee also thinks himself righteous, he's also trying to win the commendation from the people around him. If this was from myself, I would be preaching, hoping that you would pat me on the back later on and say, well done, good, and I'll feel good about myself. That's not the way it works. We're here to give a message, regardless. The worship of the Pharisee, he regarded it as an act of merit that recommended him to God. And at the same time, it will give the people high opinion of his piety. So let's look back at Luke chapter 18. Verse 9 to, we'll read it from verse 9 to 12. So this, Jesus is speaking from verse 10. Actually, reading from verse 9, it says, "And he spoke this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Now we can stop there and think, okay, do I trust myself? Do I think I'm righteous? In other words, do I think I'm better? I'm not like other people? Verse 10, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood up and prayed thus with himself." That's interesting, because it's like he's just talking to himself rather than God. "God, I thank thee." I'll read it from here. So verse, if you have your Bibles, is verse 11. It says, "God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." What's a key word there? What do we hear? I. Yes. And then when we go back to the book of Ezekiel, we hear Lucifer talking. We won't go there, but he says I as well a lot. "I will ascend above the Most High. I will sit on the throne. I will ascend above the clouds. I." And I will say to the kids, what's the middle letter of sin? I. The middle letter of pride? I. So he says all these things. He judges his character not by the holy character of God, like I was doing. Because if he faced God, what do you think he'd feel? He judged his character by the character of men. His mind is turned away from God to humanity. And in this is the secret of self-satisfaction. Whoever trusts in himself that he is righteous will despise others naturally. As the Pharisee judges himself by other men, so he judges other men by himself. I'll say that again. As the Pharisee judges himself by other men, so he judges other men by himself. His righteousness is estimated by theirs, and the worse they are, the more righteous, by contrast, he appears. So the more righteous, by contrast. But there's a problem. The Pharisee is giving a bad name to all those who want to worship God properly. Because is it wrong to tithe? Is it wrong to fast? He was saying that he's not an adulterer or an extortioner. He wasn't stealing from people. Is it wrong to fast? Fasting, by the way, it's one of the healthiest things you can do. If you want to boost your immune system, if you want to get rid of toxins, if you want to boost your metabolism, fasting is very good. Fasting, I highly recommend it. And he was saying that he fasts twice a week. This guy was a health reformer. He was probably doing vegetarian cooking classes. He was that level of standard that he could say, look at me, look what I'm doing. But he was, that there was a big problem. All these things are beneficial to us, which he mentioned. But the problem is, he took these things that he was doing, fasting, tithing, probably giving to the poor even, as counting toward him getting into heaven. So he was counting all these things as his ticket to heaven. His righteousness would get him to heaven. And Jesus says in Matthew 5 verse 20, he talks about, he's saying to the people now, your righteousness have to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. So Jesus said this parable, plus he said that. So people during the time when he said your righteousness has to exceed the Pharisees, what does he mean? Because Pharisees are doing all these 1,001 things and they're thinking, wow, I can't even do half of what the Pharisees does. Christ was talking about his righteousness. Let me try and get this back up on here. Pray for this PowerPoint. Okay, there you go. Amen. So he was talking about his righteousness. Christ was telling the people, put on my righteousness. In Ephesians 4:24, he says, and that ye put on the new man. You put on the new person. You put on the new man, which is who? Which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The word there is true, pertaining to there must be a false holiness. So, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Because there is a false holiness. Meaning the first start, you start off not trying to do all these things to be saved. You first start off like the publican. We first start off like the publican. He was the one who saw the reality of his sinfulness. He saw the reality of how wretched he really was. Whatever he did, he realized would not attain him into the kingdom. It's only Jesus that will get him the ticket to heaven if he accepts Christ in his heart. And then because he wants to serve his Lord, he will stop being a thief. He will stop being an adulterer. He will fast. So these things come after the cart before the horse, right? These things come after tithing, giving to the poor. These aren't the first saying that I'm going to do this to be saved. Not to win approval. We don't do these things to win approval, but because Jesus loves us. Because Jesus wants nothing more than to do what he says through us. And we would want nothing more than to do what he says, not for the reward, but because Christ has saved us. All these things show the Lord. So all these things that we do out of our heart shows is like a show to the Lord and nobody else. We don't need to prove ourselves to anybody else. So when people tell me certain things, you know, you can, I remember before growing up and hearing people relying on people to encourage me and pat me on the back, which is nothing wrong in that. But I realized everything that I had to do was just between me and him. We don't need to prove anything to people, because it's God who watches us in our secret time. When we are by ourselves, that's when God is saying, here you are. So, excuse me. So we first start off like the publican. All these things show the Lord and nobody else. It has come from within the heart. That's where it should come from, the heart. All our service. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, says, for as much as you are manifestly declared to the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. This needs to be written in the heart by the Spirit. Fleshly tables of the heart. The reason it's fleshly, because if our heart was hard, he can't get in. And sometimes it is hard and it needs breaking up. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. In other words, I'm not going to try to be righteous. It says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of law, meaning I'm doing these things because it says this, this, and this, so I'm going to be found righteous keeping these things. No. It says, the faith of Christ will make you righteous, which is of God. So the Pharisee got it completely wrong. He got it completely wrong because he thought he has to do this, 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 and this, etc., to get to the kingdom. And if it was that way, if it was that we have to do all these different things to get to the kingdom, then what was the whole point of Jesus dying on the cross? When we can just do all these different things and get there. Because we are doing these things not because you love God, but I'm doing it for the money. So everyone wants to get to heaven, right? But sometimes our idea of getting to heaven might be, I'm getting to heaven for the money. I'm not doing it for the Lord. I want to live forever. Yeah, you know, I used to work in a care home as a maintenance guy, a maintenance man, for a couple of years. And this particular care home I worked in, I witnessed a lot of horrendous things, horrendous treatment to the residents. And, you know, I spent time with the carers there, and many of the carers were agency staff. And the agency staff, talking to them over time, I realized they're just doing this for the money. They're not so much doing it for the love of it. Even though I think it does take much to do that job, I still take my hats off to them. But a lot of them, I saw a lot of bad treatment. And I realized that speaking to some of them, they couldn't wait to get more overtime and get more money in the bank and so forth. My wife, Beth, she was a carer. Now, regardless of how much they paid her, regardless if even they didn't pay her and she had to work, there was one time they didn't pay her, which I wasn't happy about, but regardless, she would look after those residents, the elderly, with all her heart, as if they were her own. She wasn't in it for the money. She wasn't in it for the glory. It was from the heart. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 9. And I'm not boasting in my wife, but I praise the Lord that she allowed the Lord to use her in these circumstances. And Proverbs chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness." We're going to understand righteousness now, "and judgment and equity, yea, every good path, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul." So when it's entered into the heart, wisdom, and we get wisdom from the Holy Spirit. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." You imagine if that said, "And you shall love the Lord thy God with some of your heart, some of your soul, and some of your might." No, this is talking about an entire encapsulation of your body given in love to the Lord. We do not, or we should not, go to church to get to heaven. We shouldn't go to church thinking, "I want that pot of gold in the end." If you have Jesus in your heart, you automatically have that pot of gold. But that's not the goal. We don't get the goal due to something that you've done, but due to something that you've accepted. Right? It's just a bonus, heaven. The thing with finding Jesus and having him in the heart, it's like we're starting from the beginning. When you'd accept Jesus in the heart, it's like we start from the beginning, like a baby. You know, a baby, the baby, when it's growing, it starts to crawl, starts to walk, and starts to run. In Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9, it says, "Whom shall you teach knowledge?" So whom shall he teach knowledge? "And whom shall he make to understand doctrine?" So who will he teach these things? "Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." So them who are having the milk food first. This is who, and but they're weaned out. How? 1 Corinthians 13, 11, "When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." When you accept Jesus Christ into your life, then things start to change in your life. You start to change. My language started to change. You know, I had a lot of Babylonian words in the past. I used to say all these kind of, you know, street words and bad words. And so that was started going out, watching these different things which weren't giving glory to God, doing these different things and drinking, smoking. These started to come out of my life because I wanted to give glory, but not out of my own strength. It's because when you give your heart to him, you just want to do these things, not to be saved, but because you love him. Because you love him. Things become more beautiful. Things become more beautiful, like the song. Jesus makes things beautiful. He makes things beautiful in your life. When you really start to love God, you really start to love people. When you really start to love God, you really start to love people. And this was my problem. When I was in the church before, I started to despise people, which was the opposite of what the Lord wanted from me. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us." That's the Ten Commandments right there. And verse 20, it says, "If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen?" In other words, if I don't love my fellow brother, I don't really love God. If I despise somebody, I kind of despise God. You start to ask the Lord, when you've accepted him into your heart, "What is it that you want from me, Lord, so that I can get closer to you? Not so that I can speak and people can watch me and so I can do all these different things. No, you want the Lord to be in your heart so you can get closer to Him. He knows us inside and out. He knows what's the best for us. He knows what we need. He knows how to teach us. So now we have to come to it from a heart perspective. Not from I'm doing this and this and this perspective. Not a legalist point of view. That's a legalist point of view, right? That I'm going to do these, and this, and I'm saved. But it equally can go the other way, right? It's equal the other way, because I can say, oh, Jesus has died for me. And He's done everything for me. So I don't really need to change. I don't really need to do anything else. I'm not like the Pharisee. I'm not like the legalist. But in saying those things in our heart, we're almost doing what the Pharisee just said, as when he said, I'm not like the publican. We're being like the Pharisee, even though we're saying, oh, Jesus died for me. I don't need to change. I'm not like the Pharisee. It's the same coin. Sorry, it's different sides of the same coin. What is that? What was the Pharisee? Self, all about self. What is saying that Jesus has done it all and I don't need to do anything else? It's about self. When it comes from the heart, Jesus will enter the heart and move us like a baby. So do we come to church looking to justify the sinful life we live? Or do we come to church to ask for pardon and transformation? Have I come here today to just justify my life and think that I come to church and think, okay, that's it, I'm going to go home and it's all going to be the same. I don't really need to change anything in my life. The Pharisee said, I'm just fine, I don't need to change. Do we come to church saying, I'm just fine, I don't need to change? I know I do. Are we much different? Is the life we live now the life of the Lord that the Lord is asking us to live? Do we need pardon? Do we need forgiveness? Do we need change? The tax collector knew he needed change. If we say no, then it looks as though we haven't really accepted Christ's sacrifice into the heart. If we say yes, that's a wonderful starting point for the Lord to use us and start to talk to us through our every moment. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. That word abased means crushed into powder. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I'll just end with a short story that happened to me this week. And it's true what the Lord says. When you rise up, you'll be taken down. And sometimes we have to see these object lessons in our lives because it's what we need. Last week, we had a wonderful week. We had someone come over. We did some health things with them, and they had a really blessed week. And we were praising the Lord, but I didn't realize my pride was running up me. And then we had the Daniel seminar. We had a wonderful Daniel seminar, Q&A at the end, which was brilliant. And then on the Sunday, we went to a Baptist church. And our brother Dean Campbell, he said a message there. Beautiful message about forgiveness. And Beth and I played the piano, and our family sung a song praising God. It was a wonderful time we had in the Baptist church. I never knew that there would be a day where we'd be performing in the Baptist church, but it came about, and it was a wonderful time. But that's the problem with self. Sometimes a bit of pride sometimes comes up. You can have healthy pride, but this was a pride which says, see, look at you, you're doing all these things. And I started saying, you know, if the church was really working, they'll be doing things like this. And, you know, and I started, that started coming up again, like me saying, oh, what happened during the week when I was at work, I was taken down. All of a sudden, where I work, my managers came down on me like a ton of bricks out of the blue. And it really dropped me down a notch. I felt, it's true, it says, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, shall be crushed. I was feeling so high in myself. And during the week, I did get taken down a notch. There was all these different things. I believe it was a work of both the devil tempting me to fight back. This is something that's not been ongoing. It's happened all of a sudden. I've had all these accusations at work. But I praise the Lord to say, Lord, I need to come back to you. I need to open my heart back up to you and rely on you and not myself. We need to come back to him. We need to stay low, because he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This is my prayer. Amen.
Not everyone who says to him, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of his Father, which is to believe in Jesus as God's only Son. Tried to say you prophesied in his name, did many mighty works and casted out demons. Well, I hope he won't declare to you, depart from me, I never knew you, worker of wickedness.
We've all sinned, but we have redemption by the blood of Christ, by grace through.
Have a zeal for God, but it's in ignorance and not according to what is known. Do you choose not to submit to God's righteousness?
Pay my tithes and always keep far from sin. The other tax collecting man stood far off, wouldn't even raise his eyes to heaven. God be merciful to me, I'm a sinner, but I believe. He told us the truth, this man went home justified, and the Pharisees
for God.